God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. Reed's not good and God's not dead. I don't care what Nietzsche or Ayn Rand said. The blood of every man is red, and I'm not going to war. They justify all the things they do with convoluted logic and waves still pound upon the sand and will when they're gone. God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awaken to the light of truth or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let us take a trip across the pond to somewhere in Europe and this week's comments from Les Visible.
Aru! The dog poet is in the pet carrier saucer pod and skimming along the surface of the Caribbean looking for harp wormholes made by the U.S. government in their ceaseless efforts to reduce the shoeless destitute to autopsy photos in order to milk a few more bloody nickels from the people who think they're doing a good job. For some reason, they never equate the job that's getting done on them with the job being done in their name somewhere else. Major mining interests are all over the island of Haiti. They were Bush the Stupid's biggest campaign supporters in his previous runs for the presidency, which he never actually had to win because the Supreme Court and voter fraud took care of that into the end, justifying the means. Speaking of the Supreme Court, the U.S. electoral system is now legally and officially for sale to the highest bidder, as the five right-wing vampire clowns on the bench determined that anyone with the money can spend as much as they like on whatever candidate they purchased for the purpose. I've seen reality and common morality gang-raped more than once in recent times, but this is a new low. Ah, well. Although the Haitians aren't going to profit from it, they might take some comfort from the fact that their earthquake that killed several hundred thousand people — that's right, I called them people — they might take some comfort from the fact that what happened to them is no longer a disaster. It's now a photo op for people being profiled for playing a Samaritan on TV. It's something to see, all these selfless assistants in the kingdom of God elbowing each other out of the way of the news cameras. Not to be outdone, a number of entertainers got together to raise money for the Clinton-Bush Haiti Relief Fund. You remember Clinton and Bush. Both of them spent a certain amount of their time in office persecuting the Haitians as well as driving their leader into exile. As I said at the Reflections of Petri Dish blog, there are some real charities out there, but they aren't going to be the first ones you find. If you do contribute, you have to look, or next week the money will show up in a weapons deal in Haifa or some coke dealer's cash warehouse. Back in the 80s, the South American coke barons used to keep stacks of money in Quonset huts and metal warehouses. Rats were eating it. Most of the money did eventually find its way to the investor banks like BCCI or one of their subsidiaries in Miami or New York. What didn't wind up at Chase Manhattan or in the hands of Rockefeller Kissinger or some other mob figure? Yeah, let's hearken back and sing a few bars. Where is the world? Where are the people? Well, I guess it's all better now. Oh, he's cynical. Unfortunately, he's right. Why don't these self-serving celebrities ever do anything before there are ruined buildings and fly-blown corpses to pose in front of? Furthermore, did the U.S. cause that earthquake? If they did, then that means Bush and Clinton were part of the very thing they're not collecting money for. Is it true? Chavez says it is, and I'm more inclined to believe him than I am anyone in charge of the U.S. or the U.K. or their front office in Tel Aviv. Speaking of which, the Israeli body snatcher medical team flew into Haiti to set up shop, and whoa, doggy, that was a Photoshop. I mean, photo op. It might have been both, actually. I don't know. I guess that'll take care of that pesky Goldstone report, though, won't it? There are reports coming out in the alternative media that some number of children are now missing who had been accounted for previously. Is it true? The thing is that the powers that be engage in and permit this kind of thing is a regular feature of their presence. The only question really is, are they doing it again in Haiti? this time, or is this just an example of private rather than public entrepreneurial efforts? It's outrageous is what it is. As I also mentioned at the blog, Haitians are leaving the quake area in hundreds of thousands from the countryside and beyond looking for shelter and sustenance. Why would they be migrating away from the relief effort if they already had found food and shelter where they were? Well, apparently they don't, or else they're just suffering migraines from all the cameras going off around them. Reports are coming in from Russia that the quake was caused by, quote, flawed U.S. Navy earthquake weapons, unquote. They're saying they knew it might happen, as it did, and that was why U.S. Deputy Commander of the Southern Command, General P.K. Keene, was stationed in Haiti at the time. Or else it's just another one of those coincidences. They're saying this was a test and a prelude to a series of similar attacks on Iran designed to topple the Iranian government. Nice, huh? If true, it tells you what sort of things are going on these days. We know that HAARP, which is an acronym for High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program, is a reality. We know these weapons are a reality and that they're using Tesla electromagnetic pulse and plasma as well as other modalities. I'd like to point out that in certain texts, which I read some years ago, the fall of Atlantis and Lemuria were both due to the use of high-tech weaponry, which it got out of hand. We won't be discussing the Lemurian sun disk during this program, but I thought I'd do a little name-dropping partway through the program. HAARP is used to control the weather, too, and that can create all sorts of land conditions that fuel social unrest through loss of food and water as well as the usual catastrophes. The thing is, the leadership of most countries know what's going on, and many of them want their own share of the violent action and control that it provides them. These people are all insane and should be quarantined. This is an ancient human problem. The psychopaths and the deranged among us always look to put themselves in a position of power in order to have access to policy. Behind them are the bankers and corporations who reap profit from war and natural disaster. Nothing would suit the food production corporations more than for there to be less food they could charge more for. They would starve people without batting an eye if it added anything to their obscene profits and their personal monies, which they couldn't spend in several lifetimes. It's a kind of madness, and there is a dark intelligence behind it which sits coiled in the back of their minds and urges them on to ever greater outrages. They will destroy themselves and each other. The problem is they take so many bystanders and so much collateral loss of life with them as they go by, because people believe their lies and blame those pointed out for that purpose. Actually, they're just being misdirected is the word. It's difficult for a normal human mind to accept that people like Hillary Clinton, Robert Gates, Obama, and those who surround him are insane. How could they walk around and talk normally and go about ordinary business and be mad as rabid hatters? The mind doesn't like to embrace this sort of perspective. It goes against the image of life as we see it on the streets and on TV. It's a deadly counterpoint to the Super Bowls and family picnics. It doesn't gel with beach holidays and office routines. How can vicious, mad dog, narcissistic psychopaths be in such positions of power? First of all, they hunger for it more than most. Second of all, we're in a dark age on the verge of a period of enlightened awareness. That enlightened awareness is only recently dawning, and the darkness has been present for much longer. It's got itself built up out of smoke and flaming mucus from the bottomless pit. To an alarming degree. Apparently, eternal vigilance was not in operation, and the people assigned to it were working for the people who had already sold their souls to the evil one, so vigilance took a holiday. The good news is that the evil one works for the divine, and the divine can cut off the water at any time and will do so in the time of his choosing. In the meantime, everything that is happening in order to give us a lesson that we will be taking with us into the new age. This is not the same new age that is being hawked from infomercials, book stands, lecture tours, and Las Vegas conventions. This is not the same new age that's composed of people who smile a lot and tell you there's nothing to worry about and who aren't much different than the people doing the other things we're already talking about. Some of them are making just as much money, too. No, this is the new age that comes around every 2,000 years or so like clockwork, in which a lot of things change and we get new challenges to deal with, just as there are now. There will be lessons then, too. Life here is all about lessons. Learn yours and move on to more stable and harmonious worlds. I'm not saying you do have anything to worry about. For me, there's only one concern, and that is to avoid displeasing the prime mover. I would think that would be the sensible concern of all. Everything else takes care of itself because the prime mover takes care of everything. Anything and everything we are put into and through is known to the prime mover, and he has a reason for it. Once we accept that we are on a guided tour, we can cooperate in that and reduce our suffering. So long as we oppose what we cannot resist or stand against anyway, we will suffer according to what is necessary for our awakening to the fact that none of what happens in this world is real, for two reasons. The first is that everything is impermanent, and though it has a relative existence, it has no lasting reality. The other reason is that we don't fully understand to begin with, so our assumptions, suppositions, and projections, along with our conclusions, are generally wrong as well. Ergo, no matter how real anything might be, our lack of full awareness makes it unreal because we see nothing as it is, including ourselves. I took a bit of a right turn there, didn't I? Well, it all connects. There are two basic kinds of people in the world, those who want to understand and those who want to profit from the public not understanding. There are many subdivisions in all of this, and neither group is all good or all bad. One is just generally good, and the other is generally bad. One generally seeks a wider awareness in order to be a better person and to serve, you know, in a wider and more expansive way, eventually anyway. The other generally seeks new and improved means by which to deceive, abuse, and impoverish their fellows. Both are necessary for the drama of life here. Both generally head off in a different direction from one or another upon departure from this plane. Everything you say and do is heard and seen. It helps to imagine that you're on TV because you are. We're being observed by an audience much larger than anyone suspects, and that includes members of both groups previously mentioned who inhabit other locations besides this one, but can see into this one, in a manner of speaking. Some people are protected from this invasion, depending on their relationship with higher powers, that all come forth from the same single source of power. And some need no cover or protection because there's no danger in them, which they carry around with them as they go. In other words, they're not carrying any. Once a person has conclusively proven to themselves that everything is under control and that they are on a guided journey, one's speed is consonant with one's ability to drop their luggage and their attachment to the elements of this plane. This does not mean to abandon your family, which depends on you, or to cease with all of your responsibilities. This just means you release your attachments. Given that reincarnation is a fact, and it is, the people around you and close to you are not usually new to you, except in terms of your association with the particular identity of this life. Once you've dropped this attachment, you can see beyond the present life, and we'll find that your mother might well have been your daughter, and your son might well have been, at another time, your father, or your father this time, but your son before. Of course, new people come and go over the vast extent of our many existences. Meanwhile, all of these people are you, ultimately. There's only one being. There appear to be many of us for the purpose of existence and the drama that is life. This is why it makes very good sense to treat others as you wish to be treated and to love your brothers and sisters as yourself, because, quite frankly, they are. And that includes all the people we don't like, too. When you see villains at work, you should always feel an immediate gratitude that it is not you called upon for that role, and it's always best to possess compassion. Compassion is like a bank account. You can draw on it to the degree that you have invested in it. It's a very intelligent thing to do to increase your storehouse of compassion. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Don't carry resentments. They aren't effective at anything except slowing you down and keeping you attached anyway. Everybody gets what's coming to them. Trust me on that. Compassion doesn't mean appeasing everyone, and the possession of some amount of divine love does not mean you can't talk straight and blunt when it's called for. Followers of the light are not meant to be doormats. Real humility is different than posed humility. Real humility comes out of the recognition and remembrance of how small you are and how great certain other things are by comparison. And that especially means the divine, the incomprehensible, ineffable divine. Regardless of all of this, we are the crown of creation as soon as we start acting like it. We are the actual children of the living divine. What does that make you? What does that make you? We're a lot more than we think we are, and a lot less than we often pretend to be in relation to what is valued in the world. Since you can't just step out of this world and be gone without some pretty negative consequences, it behooves us to be in the world, but not of it. Go through the motions of everything you do just like you always do, but do it with the understanding that the divine is operating through you. Do it like that and see what happens. Now, this doesn't work if you do it only on the weekends or for a couple of weeks, and then you go back to whatever it was you used to imagine you were or were doing, or whatever the case may be. It has to be constant. And if it is, after a while, a certain flow occurs, like priming a pump, and then you see. Ugh. Well, we've come to the end of another broadcast. I'll see you next week, if there is one. In the meantime, don't worry about the future. You're in good hands if you want to be, depending on whose hands you put yourself into. That kind of faith gets tested, but the only purpose of the testing is to make it stronger. So long for now. Aloha and aru!
Morning when the sun is rising, God's not dead, merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising.